The Milwaukee Rep has been teaching local students literacy skills through theater for the last 10 years. Next up, we're going to talk about the program, who it reaches, and how things have changed because of the pandemic. I'm Jill Nadeau. Thanks for spending some of your time with us on the Ideas Network. With us from the Rep are Jenny Toutant, who is the Chief Engagement and Education Officer, and Josh Poya, the School Programs Coordinator. Are you familiar with the Reading Residency Program? Do you have something similar in your school system? Join the conversation by calling 800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. Well, Jenny and Josh, thank you both for joining us today.
Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. Now, before we start talking about the Reading Residency Program, I wanted to talk a little bit about the Milwaukee Rep itself, because we reached, all of the states, so some people may not be familiar with it. Tell us about the organization, Jenny.
Yeah, so the organization is a nonprofit theater company. We are a LORT theater, part of the League of Resident Theaters, which makes us actually the largest theater in Wisconsin in terms of professional theaters goes. We do produce 15 shows a year in a normal season when we're not in COVID world. We have three different stages. We have our Quadrachi Powerhouse stage. We have the Stackner Cabaret and our Steam Key Studio space. And we also work with the Pabst Theater for our annual production of A Christmas Carol. We've been existing for over 65 years.
A long time in theater world, for sure. Yeah. Josh, when are performances going to start again?
Well, that is being determined. I cannot really answer that because it's still up in the air. But we're hoping to get back in person as soon as possible.
Actually, if I can chime in here, we do have an upcoming performance of the First Lady of Song, where Alexis Roston sings Ella Fitzgerald, and that opens on April 27th, and tickets are currently on sale, which you can find at MilwaukeeRep.com. We are very excited to return to some in-person work.
Oh, I imagine it's got to be so difficult for you, any performers, obviously. What have you been doing behind the scenes, Josh? Have you been just working with the education part of it, or?
I run the school, the Reading Residency, which is it activates English language arts curriculum through teaching key literacy skills using theater. Our curriculum focuses on text evidence within the context of a Milwaukee Rep production. And students learn about theater, social, emotional skills, and how to analyze text with a theatrical lens. Now, our Reading Residency program is built around a production or some in a traditional year, three productions from Milwaukee Rep season. And a teaching artist explores reading comprehension skills such as summarizing, text analysis, character development, plot structure, visualization, and making connections to historical and literary themes. Now, this residency has consistently yielded positive increases in text evidence, social emotional skills, and theater participation. Now, in a normal season, our Reading Residency program includes 14 to 20 in-school sessions with our teaching artist. This year, we had to pivot to two virtual reading residencies. So during that process, a normal year, we have the students take a field trip after these 14 to 20 in-school sessions where they experience a Rep immersion day, which includes a matinee performance, lunch and demonstrations led by our production team on how to bring a piece of literature to life on stage. And then an actor from the production will also visit their classroom for a workshop. And this all culminates with a final project, which could be writing a review, creating a director's vision, or an artistic project based on the themes and values of the production. So we're excited to engage students in these meaningful experiences that explore these interdisciplinary topics and concepts that connect to the art seen on our stages.
So, and Jenny, all of a sudden, a year ago, bam, you can't do what you normally do. So what was the process like of deciding, are we going to cancel this? Are we going to continue? What was that like?
Oh my gosh, it was intense.
I'll bet.
A tense process. You know, we were in the middle of a reading residency program around our production of Eclipse at the time. We had just completed our Rep Immersion Day, and then we shut down. And we had the opportunity at least to capture Eclipse on film so that we were able to at least provide that to our audiences over a digital platform. But then that immediately got us to work and collaborating with our artistic team and other staff members as well, where we went, what do we do now? Our programs that were in person all went on pause, of course. And then we immediately became Zoom experts and we figured out, what does this look like? How do we do this on a virtual platform? How do we engage youth? How do we adapt our programming to this digital medium? And we move forward with that. You know, we did some in-person with a lot of social distancing and masking, of course, work with partners like COA, but we also worked with COA Youth and Family Center and Boys and Girls Club over the summer on adapting to a virtual and digital experimentation with how do we teach and adapt some of these theater games that are so good at engaging youth in this different platform or in this little screen. You know, and then all of our other programming too. We were able to successfully adapt our education programming. We have a national August Wilson monologue competition that we host in Milwaukee. We have a professional training institute for teenagers. We have a teen council leadership program for teens as well. So we were able to adapt all of those programs. Additionally, we looked at how are we creatively engaging our audiences beyond what we normally would do on stage? So we've launched From Our Home to Your Home series, our Home to Home series. And this was, you know, an amazing collaborative effort cross-departmentally. You know, normally we've been focused in what are we doing with schools? What are we doing with community between our engagement and education department? But we extended that to how are we able to engage our audiences? Because we became, along with artistic, we were still the department that were able to produce work and engage audiences. Mm-hmm. So we had, you know, various demonstrations and workshops that we were offering to the community. We were doing conversations with our artistic director. We launched a dialogue series in partnership with the Zeiler Group called Repair Divides to have some intense conversations, you know, over, again, a Zoom platform. We did artist songs, commissioned playwrights to do short monologues and scenes so that we were able to still engage with artists and be able to provide work for artists as well as a part of this transition, because this is not just impacting us as an organization, but the individual artists that we work with.
Definitely. Yeah. Now, Josh, what have the responses been to having all of these things available over Zoom and whatnot? Are people open to it? Are they liking the experience?
You know, they really are. We've had great feedback, especially from the teachers who have told us how engaged our students have become. We were a little skeptical about how into the asynchronous programming they would be. But our Christmas Carol programming was really dynamic, and we had so many great projects for that, like a backstage tour of the prop room, 3D scavenger hunt, reading scripts, adaptations, Mad Libs. We've tried to make it as active as possible, thinking outside the box with our three tenets of reading comprehension, social emotional learning, and theater participation.
Now, do the kids know that they're learning these things, or is it just kind of sneaks in on them? Right? They kind of, yeah.
Yeah, we kind of sneak it in. We don't want to like be totally open about where we're headed with it, but right. We want to, just like theater, when you go mm-hmm. see a play, the theme of it isn't like just right out there. It's hidden under a layer of entertainment and education, and we try to make this dynamic curriculum active and fun. So, you know, they go home and they realize, oh, maybe I can see the world through other people's shoes, other people's eyes, rather than my own little bubble.
Great.
I think there's some intentionality with that as well, right, JP? I mean, like, yeah. We are looking at how, you know, those skills are, they might be underneath that surface, but then there's some, you know, explicitness that we do take with the students of how did we learn from this? You know, what is it that we took away from this? Because they are asked questions around specific literacy components like text evidence later on, and they know that they're being asked on that.
Mm-hmm. So it's a good combination of the two.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. Now, I've heard from teachers and from parents that sometimes, you know, the students are there, but they're just not participating because it's not one-on-one. Have you had that experience with the programs that you've been offering for kids? Jenny?
You know, with the reading residency program in particular, that has been an asynchronous opportunity so that the students are able to participate that on their own time, which okay. is something that we had learned from teachers was going to be necessary for any of our in-school programming because of that level of engagement. That way the teachers had the ability to monitor their participation and the student participation. For our synchronous programming, which is including the teen program offerings that we have with August Wilson, Monologue Competition, our Teen Council, and our Professional Training Institute, we have not had any challenges. Those programs have been going really well for those students, and those students are signing up for the programs with our Professional Training Institute. I think we have a monthly workshop with them, and I think we've had one student miss one session, since the start of this pandemic. So the participation has actually been very strong with our teen programming. The school programming, again, is a little harder to monitor because it is asynchronous, but that was designed intentionally to be responsive to that need.
And Josh, where was I going to go with this? I totally lost it. Sorry. It happens sometimes, you know, what can I say? I know what I talked to you about. Talk about the play that you're using. So this is a recording of Christmas Carol, right? So that's like the main idea of what you're teaching.
Yeah. For our first curricula, we used a Christmas Carol production from 2016 that they will okay. be able to watch once the 14 sessions are completed, and then they get to write a review and do their final projects based on, you know, whatever we've provided for them. They can do an artistic project, write a review, do a director's vision. The Caesar residency, which we launched on Monday, the Ides of March.
And actually, I'm going to ask you to hold that thought because we are coming up to the news soon. So we'll get back to you in just a second. We're talking to Josh Poya and Jenny Toutant from the Milwaukee Rep and the Reading Residency Program. And we'd like to hear from you. How has theater improved your life? Give us a call at 800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. We'll be back right after this look at the news. This is the Larry Mueller Show. I'm Jill Najoe, and we're talking about teaching literacy through theater with our guests from the Milwaukee Rep. They are Jenny Toutant, the Chief Engagement and Education Officer, and Josh Poya, School Programs Coordinator. What would you like to know about starting a program like this in your area? Well, we'd like to hear from you. Join in by calling 800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. So, Josh, before we popped over to the news, you were talking about you were using A Christmas Carol as your kind of jumping off point for teaching. So what kind of lessons do you engage the students in around that particular performance?
Well, a host of exciting, engaging ideas. And we started with using a Flipgrid, which is kind of it's an application where students can respond to questions, respond to activities using a virtual video app. So students could respond visually. So we can get visual responses from them. But we found that they had the choice to use the video component or not in Milwaukee Public Schools. So the students ended up not using them. So we had to pivot for our CSER residency, which I'm really excited to talk about because it launched on Monday, which was is March 15th and is also known as the Ides of March.
It is.
Which was the day Julius Caesar was murdered. And we're going to start it from the Ides of March until April 23rd, Shakespeare's birthday. And we have a lot of exciting activities for that that one, which I'm excited to talk about, like a 3D Shakespearean globe scavenger hunt. Instead of a traditional like trail kind of quest, we have a Roman trail exciting adventure. We have Shakespearean Mad Libs. They get to review a production, and they have a woman's actress roundtable. So we had to pivot a little bit, and we wanted to explore the life of William Shakespeare and culminate in a shortened production of Julius Caesar, produced by our emerging professional residents. And Milwaukee Rep's emerging professional residency program serves as this entry point into professional theater and this opportunity to make connections with professionals from around the country. Each season, we accept like 15 to 20 emerging professional residents. This year in our pivot, we accepted 7, 4 actors, 1 director, 1 producer, and 1 education professional. So what I'm excited about is these EPRs, they wrote, well, adapted Julius Caesar into their own version of Caesar, and they filmed it. And then for our second reading residency, we put them in the residency so they could bond with the students, which we couldn't do with the Christmas Carol residency. So after 12 sessions with the EPRs, the students will get to see them in action on the stage, telling the story we had prepared to see them witness. And it's all very exciting in a whole new way, whereas Christmas Carol was kind of from a distance where we saw people my age talking about the residency. Now they see people kind of near their peer age, a bit older, but near their peer age, and they can look up to these students, emerging professional residents, and then see the production as they walk through the whole residency with them. It's very exciting.
That sounds like it would be very engaging. So, Jenny, are you learning from this experience some things that you maybe are going to be keeping in once this pandemic is over?
There's a huge opportunity here with these two residencies as well. A Christmas Carol in particular is a production that we do every year. And though we don't have a rep immersion day around it, just for various reasons, as it is a very large production and it's in the Pabst, and we have not had this opportunity to engage with students, though, around the text of A Christmas Carol in the past. So that we've had student matinees, they've come to see the show, but this actually allows us now an opportunity to be able to utilize our pre-recorded curriculum now that we've developed to be able to continue to expand the reach of this reading residency program and continue this on the virtual platform. So now schools who attend our annual production of A Christmas Carol can have access to this curriculum, and it's asynchronous, so they can use it as however they want. The same thing with Julius Caesar. You know, we typically in a normal year will serve between 30 to 50 classrooms with the live reading residency program, which we build every year around a production on our stages, so that it's very specific to that production. The curriculum is written to that experience that the students will have. And that's really important, right? So that they can see the actors on the stage. It cements a lot of the social emotional learning as well. And their ability to recall information from a text is supported by seeing live theater as well. So it gives an exciting thing. But we're limited by capacity. You know, we can only have X number of classrooms. We only have so many spaces in our theater to be able to do this year after year, right? So we'll still have that live component. But with this Julius Caesar as well, we will have a pre-established, already recorded performance that we'll be able to increase access. And this is also something then that can expand beyond Milwaukee, because we're limited by our space for, you know, being serving things at in just a live capacity. We're limited by our region. But with this, it allows us to extend that reach out, you know, beyond Milwaukee as well. So there are things that we're learning from this, you know, for sure, about how we redefine what access means to educational programming that I believe we'll be able to carry on in the future.
That's really good news, because I know there are a lot of parts of the state where it's just too far to go to see professional theater. So this will be really a good thing if you're able to do that. You mentioned that you are in the Milwaukee area right now. How do you select the schools that participate in the program?
So we have a wonderful partnership with Milwaukee Public Schools. We work with the literacy department there, and we also have a very long established relationship with many of the schools that we've worked with this particular program. So a lot of them are returning, which is great, because they know exactly how to implement this into their curriculum. This is a partnership with these schools, so that there's, you know, this is had started out a decade ago, being co-developed with schools around what are the needs, what should we be meeting, what should we be focusing on with this curriculum, what should we be measuring to make sure that we're successful with this curriculum. And, you know, those teachers are still engaged with us. So sometimes a school comes to us because they've heard about the program. Sometimes a teacher moves on from one school and goes to the next and says, hey, I really want this program at my school. Sometimes it's very neighborhood specific, because we do focus on equitable access throughout the Milwaukee area, so that all schools can potentially access this program. So sometimes it's a very, you know, like, oof, we don't have anybody in this neighborhood right now. We need to make sure that we're reaching out to this area. So sometimes it's by map and by design in that way. Other times we realize that we've got X number of school partners that are returning to us and working with these number of classrooms, and we have capacity for two more. So then we might reach out to Milwaukee Public School Central Office and say, who needs this program the most right now?
So, and Josh,
variable.
Yeah, true. So Josh, who goes out into the classrooms when you're able to go into the classrooms?
We have a host of amazing teaching artists from our community that are working artists, and we have training sessions. We sit down with them, we walk them through the curriculum, we give them their objectives, we outline what our focus is, and they're just incredible artisans and teaching artists. And yeah, we just love working with them.
So now both of you have obviously theater background, but where did the education part come in? Is that additional training that you did, or how did that work? Go ahead, Josh, you can start.
Well, I came to it from the point of view of a working artist. I moved here from Los Angeles, and I found myself at another theater company in the city who believed in me as a teacher, and then they believed in me as a director, and then Jenny believed in me as a teacher, and then I slowly worked my way up to becoming a school programs coordinator and started believing in myself, because I did have a lot of incredible teachers growing up, and I thought that you had to be in your 60s or 70s to become like a great wise teacher, but I had to believe in what I had right now. And as I teach, every time I teach, I become a better director, I become a better actor, I become a better teacher. And it's just, it's a whole new set of skills that I didn't even know I had, that other theaters and other people believed in me. And thankfully Jenny believed in me, and I've been here for about, I think, almost 4 years now.
Okay. And what about you, Jenny? What brought you into this particular position?
Oh, boy. I started like many folks who get involved in theater. You know, I saw my first play, and I was a late bloomer in that. It wasn't until middle school I saw my first play and went, that's what I'm doing with the rest of my life. So naturally, I thought of that as I have to be an actor. And I studied acting, and it was – actually my sophomore year in college when one of my professors had handed me a book on theater education in the classroom and creative drama and said, I want you to teach this after school program. I don't know what that means. I don't know. I'm not a teacher.
Pretend you're a teacher.
Yeah, exactly. So I basically self-taught myself how to do this and then started experimenting. So for 3 years, I ran this after-school program as a part of my college education and I realized at the end of it that this is what I need to do. So I went on to graduate school to study theater pedagogy, the art of teaching theater, and I went... moved back to Wisconsin. I did grow up here. And I moved back to Wisconsin and I started 15 years ago at Milwaukee Rep. Wow. Thinking, this could be a transitional job. We'll get some professional experience and go into it. And it just makes sense. This is very ingrained in who I am and what I do. A lot of this work beyond the education component of it is also how do you engage community around art on stage? And that's something that I started doing when I was 14 years old and I didn't know it was a job. I just knew the theater had the capacity to do so much more.
That's wonderful. Now you obviously had theater when you were younger and do you think that that experience and how it helped you find your place is something that you then bring to the students that you're teaching, Josh?
Oh, absolutely. As a child, I moved a lot. And my way of getting to know students and fitting in was not being the class clown, but being the person who raised their hand to read the script in class and asking those questions about who are these characters and, hey, can I direct this little play in sixth grade? Can I corral people and create a community as fast as possible so I can fit in? And that's kind of been, has followed me since. And that's kind of why I've anchored myself in Milwaukee, because I feel like this is a great place to plant seeds. Mm-hmm. In New York and LA, those seeds are already grown, almost overgrown. And in Milwaukee, it's just a beautiful town, a beautiful city, and wonderful people. And I think it has a real strong theater community, which makes the culture of the city even stronger.
Mm-hmm. Great. You feel the same way, Jenny?
Absolutely. I was an ambitious teenager, and that never actually stopped thinking about it. But, I started as a teenager. I did my first play as a freshman in high school, and it immediately went, this can do so much more. So started creating a touring show that went out to schools around social justice issues. I was 14.
Wow.
I had opportunities to get into leadership development as well. So I joined a youth board. I ran a school club, and found those opportunities so valuable that I didn't realize how much I was learning from that experience that I would apply still today. So that's where a lot of our programs actually, they stem from a lot of things, but I find a lot of those roots showing up, right? How do we provide opportunity for youth? How do we make sure that in addition to giving, particularly even in the in-school programs, beyond our Teen Council Leadership Program, but even with the in-school programs, when we're developing a curriculum, here's this hands-on activity for you to engage in, but then we give them choices as a part of it. So JP was talking about these final projects, and they have a choice as to where they want to go. How are they going to apply the learnings that they've had throughout the residency and have that direct application of that into their own creative project, so that it's not just here's your curriculum, you're going to follow this and you're going to button it up at the end with what we tell you you're going to do, but that they have some active choices in there to explore their own creativity and find their own voices in that. It's important to be able to highlight and elevate youth voice.
Absolutely. Now, this program's been going on for quite a while, about 10 years, is that right?
Yeah.
So have you had some of your former students come back to you and say, this changed my life for the good? Do you have a story that you can share, Josh? Jenny, whichever prefer.
Well, I can tell you at the end, we just a couple years ago, we did West Side Story. And one of our schools, we walked in and they were like, I don't want to work on a musical for 20 weeks. That sounds awful. By the end, they were weeping. They didn't want us to leave. They were engaged in the characters, the story, and not even just the music. They wanted to understand why this musical was written. And that meant more to me than them saying, oh my God, I love the song Maria. You know, they were invested right. in the event and, mm-hmm. and the themes of the story. And that makes me happy. Jenny?
Now, being at this theater for the length of time that I've been, I've had that unique opportunity where, you know, our measurement tools that we use are short term, right? So we look at the impact of this residency. We don't have the capacity to be able to track long-term effects on a programming like this when we're serving hundreds of students a year. And so when we get these emails or a random phone call here and there and find out, oh yeah, I participated in a program with you all. It changed my life, you know, or it, wow. it had this one of my phone calls that I had a few years ago was, I did this program and it was really important to me. And now I work with youth and I'm wondering if I can provide something similar to that for them. What are you doing now? You know, so it's really neat to be able to see those long-term effects. We just recently, 2 weeks ago, had an email from a student looking for one of the teaching artists. Hey, there was this teaching artist that was in my classroom. I'm wondering if I can get in touch with them. And that teaching artist wasn't in that classroom since 3 or 4 years ago, you know, so it resonates with these students. And sometimes the middle school program, this reading residency program in particular, is very focused on a middle school level. We do offer it to high schools as well, but its main focus is with middle school. And sometimes we have students that have moved on from their school and they get engaged with us in one of our high school programs as well. So we see that level, and sometimes they join our teen council, or sometimes they participate in the National August Wilson Monologue competition. You know, they find other ways to engage, which is by design. We have put that together so that there's opportunities as they're growing up to be able to engage in our programming as they're looking through their school careers.
Now, you had mentioned some of the other programs that you offer. So it's not just the reading residency. You have a lot. I was surprised when I went on your website. Whoa, that's amazing. Why don't you tell us a little bit about some of those other opportunities as we wrap things up here near the end?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, like I said, the teen programs, we do have three different strands of teen programs. We have a professional training institute where teenagers from the area do audition to be a part of that. It is a free training program throughout the year. They meet monthly and work with professional artists and almost like a master class. And that leads to a final production that we actually fully produce a production with those teens over the summer months. And those teens are paid as a part of that too. So this
wow.
is a summer. So it's really exciting for that. The National August Wilson Monologue Competition, this is actually our first year in participating in this competition. So this
is it really?
It's
okay.
It's been around mm-hmm. for about, I believe, 12 years nationally. But last year we were a shadow city, so we were observing other regions and how they did it. We experimented with program to see what would stick and how we do it. And this year, actually at the end of this month, we have our first regional competition. In a non-COVID year, when this competition would be live, these students would have the opportunity to perform a monologue from one of August Wilson's plays on our stages. And the top two regional winners receive a cash prize, as well as the opportunity to have an all-expense paid trip to New York City, where they will perform and compete on a Broadway stage.
Can I join that? Is there openings for my
And then we also have a teen leadership program, the Teen Council, where we have students who love theater. They get engaged in theater, but on more of an administrative level. They produce programming for others. So it's really exciting ways. And all of those programs are free for teens to engage in.
That is just amazing and so much. And again, you go to milwaukeerep.org, is it? Or .com? Milwaukeerep.com. Okay, Milwaukeerep.com. There's a whole list of things. Not only can you check out what is coming up, hopefully soon, but you can check out all these other opportunities. You guys, thank you so much for being with us today. Really appreciate it. Keep us up to date about what's going on. And here's to live theater. Yay. Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
We've been talking to Josh Poya and Jenny Toutant from the Milwaukee Rep and the Reading Residency Program. Hope you can join us tomorrow on Garden Talk when we'll look at how you can get involved with testing seeds. That's tomorrow starting at 11 on the Ideas Network. I'm Jill Nadeau sitting in for Larry Mueller. Stay well and hope to see you again.